Welcome to the B2B Influence Spotlight on Industry Game Changers podcast. I'm Paula Keoki, founder and CEO of Outward Media. Outward Media is a trusted data partner to Fortune 2000 businesses and startups alike. We provide the highest quality audience data to fuel engaged, integrated, omnichannel campaigns. Our mission is to deliver real data, real results, and invaluable reach to real people. Welcome, everyone, to the B2B Influence Podcast. I'm your host, Paula Keoki, and today we have Stuart Foster. He is the co-founder and managing partner at law firm Fractional CMOs. Welcome, Stuart.
Thanks, Paula. Good to be here.
I was just saying to Stuart before we started that working with law firms is probably not the easiest thing to do on the planet, so kudos to him that he's solved that. So that's what we're going to focus on today, marketing to law firms. So, Stuart, as many law firms and small businesses struggle with knowing whether their marketing is actually working. So what advice would you give clients who don't have visibility into ROI? And how do you help them build a system that connects marketing activity to revenue?
Yeah, I think in the case of a lot of B2B firms, and particularly law firms, is that they start doing their marketing very organically. And so they start with execution. So they start doing one piece of execution, another piece of execution, and they don't have good visibility of that ROI because they don't really have a cohesive strategy around everything. They haven't set it up with a kind of higher level strategy to look at what they're doing. And if you don't have a leader really running your marketing, you're probably not using the right technology, the right systems to build dashboards, to have visibility into the numbers, right? There's thousands of numbers you can look at. You can look at a ton of KPIs. The question is really, which one of these KPIs, which one of these numbers is giving you indication into whether the marketing is performing, right? And whether it's actually delivering new business, leads, what have you. And so building that is complicated. There's a number of technologies you've got to use. So that's why we got into this space, just to help these businesses. We put a fractional CMO into their business, someone who's done this multiple times in other places, knows the right technology to use. But it all comes back to the business objectives. And that's the thing that I think not good marketers are not good at telling the business owners. Yeah. How is this? How many visits to your website? I don't care. How many clicks? I don't care. Click-through rates? I don't care. How many new customers have you signed? How many deals have you closed? Right. Those are the business goals that you want to get to. Marketing is the engine that drives those business outcomes. And so that's what we try to focus our clients on, is tying the market activities all the way back to the business outcomes.
I remember when lawyers weren't allowed to market.
Right. And now you can't drive down any highway road in America without seeing
every billboard, you know.
The billboards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is one of those funny ones, because obviously billboards you can't track. Most of them are analog. There's a lot of digital boards out there. But again, you're hitting broad audiences of people who are driving by. How do you know those are your target customers? In the end of the day, one of the things that we focus on is how do you get your messages at a much more concentrated, targeted approach than just blasting it out there? And the idea that accident attorneys, for instance, put billboards on highways. Do they think the accident's going to happen below the billboard, near the billboard? People are going to get out of their car. Oh my God, I hurt myself. Oh, there's a billboard. I'm going to call 1-800-THE-ROCK. Some of those, there's a couple of them with famous names like that. And we've been able to build really complex digital marketing engines where you're getting the messages in front of people who are searching for particular keywords. They're visiting particular websites. They're consuming particular content. Mm-hmm. Maybe your competitor, maybe your videos on your YouTube or on your website, but wherever they may be hosted. And then actually get the messages in front of people who have a real need. And that's when your ROI becomes much more effective, because you're narrowing that in and getting much more specific on intent and need rather than just general awareness. Now, there's a role, of course, of general awareness in trying to be. Everybody in America now knows who Morgan & Morgan is, But that's a different level.
That's not what they're hiring you for, right?
No, and Morgan & Morgan is spending $400 million a year in marketing. They're up there where Coca-Cola and Hilton and big brands are. we're working with more smaller firms who are still spending often $1, $2, $3, $4 million.
Okay.
And they have very little visibility into what it's actually driving.
And so do you find that once you get the system set up, do you stay engaged? Or do
I think the most important thing in our line of work is the assessment and audit phase.
Okay.
And this is where I think agencies go wrong.
Okay.
Agencies are so focused on execution, and partly because their business model in many cases is based on a product or service where they make their revenue, right? You ask a website agency, a web agency, or an SEO agency what you should do to grow your business, they're going to tell you you need to redo your website, or you need to do more SEO content, right? What they get paid for. If you ask a creative agency how you can grow your business, they're going to sell you creative and media. It's their business model.
Yeah.
We're completely agnostic to the agencies and to the channels, and we use those, we use all of those things, but we build the right engine with the right, I like to use a sort of engine analogy. What are the right pistons and what are the right elements in the pistons? Retargeting being one, local SEO maybe being another, intentional content. You can go through the sort of owned and paid and earned content model, or a referral strategy that's truly automated and targeted. A lot of B2B firms, you talk about referrals. Mm-hmm. Oh, we get all our business from referrals. Mm-hmm. Great. Who's referring to you? Oh, lots of people. Well, you got to do that assessment and audit to really know where your business is coming from before you can set up a marketing engine to then get in front of those people. And as I mentioned, the most important thing is an assessment and audit before you build the strategy. It becomes the information. It becomes the knowledge. Becomes the really the understanding of your customers, your competitors, and yourselves. I tell them the three C's: customers, company, and competitors. Mm-hmm. And if you understand deeply those three things, you're going to have a much more informed strategy that's going to be much more effective. And that strategy is going to drive execution to be much more efficient.
I would imagine in your assessment phase that you probably uncover things that surprise them, that they don't know about.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Lawyers are an interesting bunch because
they are.
When I think it's natural, if you're asked your opinion uncontested day in and day out, you become this ego just grows because people ask your opinion and then their response, you tell them your answer and they go, oh, okay, you're an attorney, so you must know everything. So lawyers tend to have this sort of, they know a little about a lot of things, right? And of course they know the law very well. But in that assessment phase, we do uncover, in general, we uncover somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 to 40% of wasted spend.
Wow.
We find incomplete, broken setup of things like Google Business Profile, your website not having the right functionality or the right structure to it. People focus too much on the pictures and the words that are on there and not enough on, do you have a lead gen form in the right place? Is the lead gen form set up simply? Do you have a chat bot? Do you have a live bot or a live chat? And different businesses need different things. And so, yeah, we uncover a lot in that. We do probably one of the most comprehensive assessment and audits that I'm aware of. It takes us almost 2 months.
Wow.
It's not just an assessment of their digital footprint. That's a big piece of, you know, everything from their SEO, their website, to their Google Business Profile, their social media. We assess all of that, but we go farther. And we assess their positioning. We assess their competitors. We look at their intake systems. We look at their reporting infrastructure. We look at their investment and spend levels. So it's a very comprehensive audit, and it takes about 2 months for us to really do it properly. It's not something that's done in 24 hours. So if someone tells you they can do an audit in 24, we'll spend 1 week doing it. They're just getting to the surface. We dig deep, and we find that what we find is a huge amount of money being spent on things that we cannot connect to any results. That's what I call waste. That's the definition of waste. And then we start testing, turning those things off. And I say test because sometimes they're interconnected and they are producing. You just don't have visibility.
Okay.
And so you've got to be careful when you start shutting off previous marketing efforts, billboards, mm-hmm. broadcast TV, those sorts of things. But for instance, we spend a lot of time switching, particularly law firms, away from broadcast TV buys, which they tend to do locally, And there's all this talk about connected TV. And so the local TV stations say, oh, yeah, we're getting you on connected TV, which basically means you're buying broadcasts from them and you're ending up in the local cable channel where people who are on cable, what they're not doing is they're not connecting them to all the streaming services, and they're not connected and they're not able to target the ads specific to individuals and specific IP addresses. They're still broadcasting across a local market. And so we're able, we put together, we have a technology platform that we use that goes at specific IP addresses that we've been able to track of people who've either searched for certain terms, car accident, lawyer near me, things like that, or have visited certain websites or consumed content of either our clients or their competitors. And then the ad gets put in front of, gets put on every device. And the TV is just another device. You have to think of it like a tablet. You've got your phone, you've got your iPad, you've got your computer at home. They're all on the same network. Guess what? Your TV's on that network too, if you're doing any streaming. And if you're using any things that have ads in them, we can place the ads in there, including YouTube TV, right? Hulu, Netflix, and the ad platform, all these places. And so you're able to be very specific. And we found we've been able to reduce the spend by 60%, but increase the leads by like 100%, like 100x, not 100%, like 100x.
So you paid for yourself,
So, yeah.
right?
So this is what I tell attorneys and small business owners is that don't think of a marketing leader as an expense. Think of them as as an investment into finding ways and setting up a proper marketing engine that then operates, and ask them to show that improvement, and they can, and they will if they're good.
And then you mentioned the CTV. The younger demographic is going to be more on that than, say, cable t standard cable TV, right?
Yeah, under certainly probably under 25, but under 30, I would say that's where they're consuming content. You want to go where the consumer is. And law firms, particularly, I find they're advertising on evening news programs. Who's watching the evening news program? Probably not the people who go out of the house very often, or probably very unlikely to have been in an accident.
Yeah, I agree.
And even we found streaming radio targeted ads. Again, we're able to get into some of the streaming radios. That is helpful for awareness. And all these channels are helpful, but you want to be efficient. You want to be targeted. And so that's a lot of what we're helping people do. Really understand who you're going after. What are their needs? What channels of media are they consuming? And there's so many today. When you and I got into this game, there
Oh,
were
yeah.
three, four,
Yeah,
right?
that's true.
And we just blasted things out there. But today it's in-app ads. It's banner ads on your phone. It's banner ads on your computer. It's ads on your TV. It's ads in social media, right? It's all of those things.
Well, and we're even seeing in the B2B that crossing over into Reddit. We're just launching one now where they're going to use Reddit first. That's a first for us. And you mentioned YouTube, but I'm trying to think that this Meta. I've just talked to a guy the other day that said that he's moving away from LinkedIn to Meta because he felt like LinkedIn was saturated and Meta's performing better. So it's a constant juxtaposition.
Yeah, there are groups, and what in the B2B space, they shouldn't forget Meta, because the people you're trying to reach are on Meta. They might be flipping through enjoying Reels for 10 or 15 minutes, but if you put the right kind of content in the right spot, you can reach your target customer while they're looking at other things. It's the modern version of the ads in between ads for cereal. Breakfast cereal while you're watching cartoons. That was targeted. So they knew who was watching that. But you're right. I don't discount Meta for B2B at all. The B2B that works really well on LinkedIn tends to be the types of businesses where that buyer is actively engaged with LinkedIn and searching for information. And so it's you've got to evaluate it based on the customer of your client and who their customer is, and therefore where's that person spending their time?
Yeah, and it's a morass to wade through. And the fact that you can do it and do it efficiently and save and redirect 30-40% of their dollars is huge. I would imagine with you have a number of case histories that help you present your story of what you've been able to do, which is awesome.
Yeah, we call ourselves marketing transformation experts because that's what we think about. We're not the just keep things going and grow at 3-4%. We are focused on transforming the marketing function of our clients. So from A to E, really dramatic. We're able to because we're going in businesses that tend to have, we call it random acts of marketing. They're doing this, they're doing that. It's the old spaghetti at the wall. And the more I interview prospective clients, the more consistent the responses I get back. What are you doing? We're a little bit on social media and we do a little bit over here and we do a little PPC. We've got a website
We don't do it all the time.
and we've got reviews. I'm like, how often do you respond to reviews? We used to have a person that did that, but she's no longer with us and asked the social media person to start doing that, but I'm not sure they have. You get all these responses and I start going, check, check. Okay, you're all over the board. And so how do you stop that? You stop that by that assessment and audit first. Look at everything they're doing, understand who their customers are, do a client analysis. Who are your more profitable clients? Who are your less profitable clients? And then look at the customer journey. And this is something that I've coined that is, I don't like the term the funnel. I think Philip Kotler invented the funnel. I'm attributing it to him, maybe. I'm not even sure he's alive anymore, but old Kellogg.
What do you like?
The customer journey. So to me, the customer journey is from how do I don't know you, I don't know you exist and I don't care, to I love you and I want to tell all my friends about you. That's the nirvana that everyone wants. Oh my God, they're the best. And we've all been there. And I say, gosh, I was today texting a friend about a impact windows and doors. I live in Florida. We need to redo a door. And I text, check who to use. And I got one friend and he's a contractor. And he said, oh, we only use this company and ask for Bob kind of thing. So there's the referral. All of a sudden, now I'm aware of this company. And so what am I going to do? The first thing I'm going to do, I've now discovered them, but now I'm going to go research them.
Of course.
So I'm going to first check out their website. I might read their Google reviews. I might read their Reddit reviews or Yelp, or I'm going to get a quick assessment like, are these people for real? Are they a 2.0 or are they a 5.0? Right. And how many reviews, that sort of thing. Do they focus only on windows and doors? Are they impact? Where are they? Are they near me? I'm going to do my research. And then I called the guy and I called him. And that's when you move into the evaluation stage. So you've discovered, you research, now you evaluate. So then I call him and find out, does the guy sound like he knows what he's talking about? And the guy walks me through, he's like, can you text me a picture of the door while we talk about it? And it saved me a trip from going to his store.
Sure,
And I
that
took
was
a picture of the door and texted it to him. And he's, oh yeah, see this, see that. This is what we'd have to do. And what color is it exactly? It's not clear on the photo. And I said, it's brown. It's not black. It looks black in the photo, but can you do brown? He said, can't do brown. We can do bronze. So all of a sudden, I have this amazing experience. And now he's coming out tomorrow to measure to give me a quote. So I haven't
because it
bought yet. And that process took about 45 minutes. Okay. From not knowing and not caring to I'm just before purchase. I'll evaluate his, I'll get a competitive bid, I'll hire one of them, and then I'll write my review or share it. So whether you're buying a door or you're buying golf balls on Amazon or you're hiring an attorney, you go through the five stages: discovery, research, evaluation, purchase, and then advocate. And so that to me is the customer journey. And it's a linear time-based journey. That journey can be 45 minutes. That journey can be 3 weeks, 6 weeks. If I'm going to be hiring if I need to buy turbines for some industrial purpose, that process is going to be, each of those stages is going to be longer. So what's really important is to understand which customers go through what journey in what channels and what time period and where can you influence it. You said it was a great idea that he asked for a text. prompts an idea. Why doesn't he have on his website, hey, text us a picture of your door and we'll walk you through an estimate in 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
That'd be a nice competitive advantage, right?
Yeah,
so these are the ideas marketers come up with. But that customer journey is a really important. That's the foundation of a good marketing strategy. Because marketing is just the touch points along that journey that you're trying to influence. So I get excited about this because I love seeing this journey different across different businesses.
So I can tell you, so I have a question for you because we're coming up on time, but do you stay in with the client? Or do they hire you for the long
term?
Yeah,
our usual
system out?
What we've figured out is it takes a minimum of 9 months to thoroughly transform a marketing function.
Okay.
So we work on a monthly retainer. We come in, we work on a fractional 35% of a CMO's time in that client. We become part of their leadership, become part of their team. We're not outside. We're really an insider. And we, after the 9 months, about 60% of our clients keep us going because they see the value that we brought and they see no reason to change it. And they're like, you're doing what I need you to do, which is grow my business, grow my leads, and give me a marketing function that has visibility of ROI, is clear what it's delivering, and the business results are happening. There does come a time, and it's usually somewhere between 18 to 24 months, when they start to say, this is great, but I want someone full-time. I want someone physically in the office.
Okay.
And we find that it's somewhere around that time frame. But the majority of our clients stay on for that time period.
And then if they do want to bring somebody in-house, do you help them with the transition?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Okay. We usually stay on as an advisor. We help them. And sometimes B2B businesses say, I'm looking at hiring somebody full-time, but I'll evaluate you and your services. And I ask them, how do you know what kind of full-time person you want and need? You haven't done your assessment. You haven't built a strategy. You don't know what's working. And we evolve. And after that 12, 14 months, maybe 18 months, we may realize we actually need more of a connected TV expert to manage that piece of the marketing engine. Or we need more of a search SEO content CMO or marketing director or some imbalance of both. But the profile and the experience of who you need to keep that engine running, can you have no idea what it is until you build it and start operating the engine. So we help them with that. And we help them hire that person, profile, we write the job description, and then we help with the recruiting process.
And you also have, I know you started out with law firms, but you've crossed over into the B2B community as well, right?
Yes. Yeah. So we have a practice exclusively focused on law firms, but we have a practice called S3 Growth Partners that is industry agnostic.
Okay.
And the methodology is similar to both, right? The assessment, the build the strategy for execution. What's different is the skills and the profiles of the chief market officers that we place into the business.
Yeah.
So obviously in the law firm space, it's very heavily professional services with some law experience. On our S3 clients, we have healthcare clients, we have multi-unit retail, we have food manufacturing, they're like a hydroponic lettuce business. We have all kinds of different businesses and we need different profiles of CMOs to go into those businesses. Some are B2C. Some are e-commerce, some are SaaS oriented. So there's a lot more diversity in the CMOs in that space than in the law firm space where the profile is more similar.
But they still go through that needs assessment process.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's critical, that's stage one. And you need a leader to do it. I think the biggest takeaway is marketing is so complicated. There's so much technology. There's so many variations. You can't do it in addition to your day job. If you're an attorney, or you make doors and windows, or you're a widget manufacturer, whatever you do, you can't do this on the side and have ChatGPT help you. It's far too complicated.
And they really don't want to. And they really
they're intimidated by it, and it's changing every day.
Yes.
Just Google alone is challenging to keep up with the changes to the algorithm and the way they're doing things. So hire an expert.
They're keeping up with law, and then you're keeping, just like us, keeping up what's going on out in their marketing community and the data community as well. So how do they get anybody get a hold of you, sir?
Well, I'm on LinkedIn. You can reach out to me at sfoster@lawfirm-cmo.com. That's sfoster at lawfirm-cmo.com. Or
Stuart.
find me, Stuart Foster, on LinkedIn. I'm there and I'll be happy to speak with anyone to see how we can help you transform your marketing function into a growth engine.
Excellent. I would say you packed a lot in that 30 minutes. I really appreciate you. Thank
it's
you.
It's been fun. Paula, great to see you.
Okay. Hi, I'm Paula Keoki, and thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, share it on social media, and don't forget to rate or review the podcast wherever you listen. Your feedback helps us grow and inspire others. If you're a successful business leader or marketing professional with insights to share, we'd love to feature you as a guest. Visit outwardmedia.com/podcast to learn more. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and connect with us on social media to join the conversation. Visit outwardmedia.com to explore how we can help take your strategic audience building to the next level. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.